The Movie Hour, episode 93, July 22nd, 2010. Spoiler alert, the following hour programming may contain both movie plots and swearing. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everybody, short and tall, big and small, to the Michael Moore Working Poor Movie Hour. I'm Greg Maloney, and I hope you're excited as much as I am to be here tonight. As usual, I'm joined by some people, some special people, some important people. Those people being my brother in blood, James, and my brother in crime, Jeff. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Hello, hello. How's it going, guys?
Best intro ever? I think it might be.
Best intro ever? I know we joke around a lot about doing the show pantless, at least I do, but today I am actually doing it pantless. It's just so hot in the studio today. I could not prevent it this time. I'm sorry, everybody.
I don't think it's even proper to joke about being pantless.
It's not proper?
Correct.
I'll show you proper.
Good news is we're here. We're here in good company. We've got a whole platoon of interns here making sure, you know, all the doodads and things are working while we talent do our job. Here to discuss the most magnificent things about movies, of course. Enjoying the week. It's been really hot. Really hot. It's supposed to storm soon. I know
hot, humid, muggy.
Yeah, it has. That's the Michigan curse, man. The Michigan curse. And it's luckily, actually, it wasn't that bad. We had a good friend married this weekend. Fantastic party. Jeff was there. And we had a very good weekend. It's all been like nostalgia 2.0 weekend. Ran into a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. And I guess as a little PSA, reach out to that person you haven't seen in a while. They'll be happy to see you. It's been a fantastic time. Jeff, I'm sure you have some fantastic stories about getting like iced or something, right?
Okay. Well, for those of you that aren't, I didn't realize I was going to be put on the spot to talk about this. For those of you that aren't familiar with the sensation sweeping the nation, the newest thing that the kids are doing is it's referred to as bros icing bros. And what you do is you hide a warm Smirnoff Ice somewhere and trick someone else into finding it. And when they find it, you say, "You just got ice, bro," and they have to get down on one knee and chug the entire warm Smirnoff Ice as punishment.
You don't have to tell the whole story, but it turned rampant at the wedding, and it was a can't trust anyone game. And that was the first time I ran into that whole enigma, bros icing bros, and it was pretty entertaining.
I likened it to live action Rickrolling somebody. Is that appropriate?
It's a lot like that. Yeah, it's like, oh, you gotta be joking me. Yeah, it's a lot like that.
So in effect, you guys are kind of LARPing.
Whoa, LARPing, live action role playing. What? I don't think
interesting.
So.
Interesting.
And the other thing is, Rickrolling would imply that you go for something and find something else, which is usually
well,
the case.
That's what a good icing is. It dissolved into total chaos at the wedding where everybody was just handing people Smirnoff ices and making them drink them. But the idea is that somebody finds it, like, hey, can you go in my car and get my camera? It's underneath the seat. And, you know, they come back and you go, "You just got ice, bro," because they've got a Smirnoff Ice in there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm sure you can find the rules online. But what you can't find online... Well, actually, you can find us online. I was about to say, you can't find this online. Holly Hunter's Hollywood Hoopla, bro. But you can.
I have something to bring up before Holly Hunter's Hollywood Hoopla. It's relatively important.
Okay.
And Greg, just to slide in there, I had a great time. For anybody that listens to the podcast that was there, what a great wedding. So happy to see a bunch of old friends. But more importantly, I was driving around yesterday, and not 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken, Greg and I and our good friend Matt were driving, and there was a vanity plate that didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. And I made the comment that I've never seen a vanity plate that I liked before. Flash to yesterday, I'm driving around in I think it must have been Birmingham, and a Corvette pulls up in front of me, and the license plate reads Abe Froman.
No.
Yes.
And I was on the phone at the time with my girlfriend, and I just lost my shit. I said, "Oh, my God! Abe Froman! Abe Froman! The Sausage King of Chicago!" And I got up next to him and rolled down my window and tried to get his attention, but he wouldn't look at me, and I was afraid I was going to drive off the road. So.
The sausage king of Chicago doesn't just roll down his window and talk to people.
I guess not, yeah.
How did he – that's nine letters.
He did A, B, F, R, H, M, N, I think.
Okay, gotcha. Awesome. That is cool. That is very cool. That's I would usually agree with you. I don't think I can remember any vanity plate I've ever seen. That's interesting. Anyhow, movie related ones. I'm sure there's a Red 5 out there that's just genius on something, just some terrible Nova somewhere.
I did see a Gandalf on some beat up old truck. One time. That was kind of cool.
Perfect.
Too bad it wasn't on a California Ferrari GT. Blah blah blah. Whatever it was.
Day bow bow.
Got to bring that music in later. Bounty Hunters Highwood Hoopla, latest in the news. I know we keep talking about it. It's because we love it, though. It's because we love it. There still may be life in the rest of development movie. David Cross said months ago that he did not think it would happen. He was sad, but didn't think it was going to happen. Now Will Arnett and producer of the TV show, Mitch Hurwitz, say it's on its way. Now that we've gone back and forth like 50 times, who do we believe here, guys? Who do we believe? I don't know what to do anymore.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, 3 years from now, we're going to be able to talk about whether or not they're going to release this film.
You know, yeah. I'm just happy that somebody's saying it's alive. When David Cross said that, it kind of broke my heart a little bit. And you look at that guy, and you can see that he's a pessimist and everything. And you've got Will Arnett and Mitchell Hurwitz. Kind of pulling it together, but I hope it comes out. It could be very funny. They can't wait too much longer, though.
Yeah, well, at this point, I don't even know if they do a movie. I'm just thinking at this point, just leave it to rest. Because if they do a movie now, I'm just worried it's going to be something just complete abomination of what the TV show was. And, you know, even though we had 2.5-3 seasons worth of the show, I just don't think. I don't know. At this point, I think I might be done. I might be done hoping. I might be on the David Cross wagon.
I'm sorry. Is David Cross hosting this podcast? Or?
Yeah, that's true.
He's not driving up expectations.
He's not even sponsoring. Friend of the show, Michael Moore, is sponsoring this podcast. It's finally happened. This is big news. This is huge. The documentary, I'm Still Here, The Lost Year of Joaquin Phoenix, has been picked up by Magnolia Pictures and will get a theatrical release. Now you can see somebody actually pooping on Joaquin Phoenix's chest. No, anyhow, best friend of the whole show, Joaquin Phoenix, is shown trying to get his rap career off the ground, and you get to see the antics that happen in between. It's going to be fantastic.
Does this count as his return to Hollywood? Because that's I have an outstanding bet.
A very good question.
Yeah, it's not his fault he's getting filmed in his natural habitat.
What is his natural habitat?
It's like his career getting relaunched. It's perfect. He's back. His rap career, his documentary on him trying to launch his rap career has brought him right back. It's like, how is he going to get out? He's in an endless loop. He's trying to escape, and he can't. I feel bad for the guy. Right.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold out for the DVD release of this movie, because that's where the shitting on his chest will take place.
Or the Netflix streaming.
Yeah, that too.
And speaking of which, Netflix streaming, ching, congratulations Canada on being the second nation ever to have Netflix streaming available. That's huge.
Yay!
Coming this fall, Canadians will have all the same services as the U.S., except they can't rent physical DVDs. But who cares? Netflix, thank you for your continued sponsorship.
Wait, hold on. Is Netflix also bringing electricity to Canada?
I don't know. Actually, we should check this.
This is going to be great because they're going to be able to go and look at new releases, and Teen Wolf 2 is going to be on there. Ghoulies. I mean, everything's going to be a new release to them. It's going to be great.
I'm still not sure why you're mocking Teenage... I almost said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teen Wolf 2 or Ghoulies.
Keeping up the Bateman thing, you know.
Well, that's true. That's true. Is Bateman Canadian? Can we confirm or disconfirm that? I don't think he is. I don't think he is Canadian.
Jim Carrey is.
Maybe he's the one that took a crap on Joaquin, though, so maybe that's the link.
Right. Yeah, Netflix is the best. Going on to possibly the most important question you'll face in the next 24 hours. The deeper we get into the summer, the harder decisions are getting. For those looking for a mindless summer thrill, which would you recommend? Piranha 3D, which comes out August 20th, or The Expendables. Now, keep in mind, this is important because This might determine the Gunga Pit drunken feature of the month. So we need to figure out what's more important, Piranha 3D or the Expendables. Jeff, you first. Go.
All right. Well, here's my thinking on it, because when it comes to Gunga Pit drunken features, I'm kind of the mascot because I like to drink. And I still have yet to see a modern movie in 3D. And I don't think the first one I see I should be really drunk for. So I'm going Expendables. All my chips on the Schwarzeneggers, Stallone, Statham, Rourke, Lee. Jet Li. isn't that guy from WWF?
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Guys.
That's plenty. Bruce Willis shows his face.
Willis.
Who also has a cologne, which I'm still waiting for on my birthday coming up soon. Keep that in mind. Cha-ching. James, you, go.
Well, being the heavy drinker that I am, and I do like the point about the 3D and drunkenness. That's a really good point. But maybe you go see it without 3D. I don't know, but it just seems like Piranha's got the laughs you're looking for.
Dude, there are going to be boobs in it.
There are going to be boobs.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is even better.
That's the point I was going to make. Like, Expendables, I think there's just all guys in Expendables. Yeah. And, like, one throwaway girl. And Piranha 3D, that's going to be, like, it's going to be, like, Spring Break 3D in your face with a vodka tonic in your hand. That's what it's going to be like. Or just like this show, with a vodka tonic in your hand.
Speaking of which, I need another vodka tonic here.
Right, of course. We'll make sure.
Can we get an intern on that?
Yeah, Stan.
I've got all five of them waving at me with magazines and stuff to keep me cold. I don't think it's just heating up the room, though.
Seriously, though, Gunga Pit feature, we'll talk about it on GungaPit.com, but the 13th I'll be in town for. The 20th, I'm actually probably going to be up in Shanty Creek to get my movie golf outing on, and I don't know. I'm not sure if I have time for it.
You say movie golf.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Caddyshack.
Yeah. Caddyshack. Happy Gilmore.
Caddyshack 2.
Anyhow, I think we're probably going to do the Expendables just because of that. So keep an eye out. I know Joshua at the boards is down. I know he'll
Space Jam had a little.
Space Jam had a little golf.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? Are we talking about golf still?
Yeah.
Yeah. What other movies have golf in it?
Last topic, not so much movie, but I guess you could call it Hollywood. I'm putting this in here for a special listener. I know he's really pumped for it. Surprisingly, there will be more Airbender seasons coming to Nickelodeon. I just talked to him about this, and we were joking around about how the original creators had wrapped it up nicely and how they would be done. That's it. It's over. But now Nickelodeon and the original creators are back writing a whole new – sounds like a whole new trilogy of a whole new Avatar. So apparently that wasn't the last Avatar. It was like the second to last.
Airbender?
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you said Avatar.
I'm sorry. I said Avatar. I'm stuck on Avatar. The last Airbender. You're correct.
Who gives a shit?
All right. My tonic almost went all over my computer. Don't listen to him. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm sure we can wait for the M. Night Shyamalan 3 trilogy later.
Fuck that guy. That guy shouldn't be allowed to work in Hollywood anymore.
Movies on the way, I'm sure. That wrapping up our Holly Hunters Hollywood Hoopla. Moving on to the movie reviews. James, you're number one. And it's your movie review.
I swear to God, if you say What Lies Beneath, I am going to run to your house and slap you across the face.
What Lies Beneath?
Ah! It's like 5 feet away.
You just have to go. I did see a slew of movies in my home, What Lies Beneath being one of them. I also saw a couple of Matrix movies. I saw The Wrestler for the first time. I saw Fantastic Mr. Fox for the first time.
Oh, you can give that back to me now.
Yes, this is true. Wrestler was good. Good performances. Not feel-good movie, so you know, stay away from that if you're looking for that. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Good little movie. I like that one. It's got Wes Anderson's offbeat,
artistic
mood to
brother.
It. It's got a little heart, which is nice. What Lies Beneath is your basic formulaic thriller with the whole, did I see that happening? Am I crazy? I opened the door, someone wasn't there, and when I closed it, they're there. You know, all that was kind of basic stuff. I give it a little credit for trying to interweave a ghost story in it, but one thing I do want to pick on about What Lies Beneath is not about the movie itself, though. It's about the DVD title screen, and I don't know if you guys have run into this, but I knew the ending going into the movie, so that even added to the mundaneness of it. But anyway, during the movie title screen, they're showing like clips of the movie you're about to watch. And in one of the scenes, they show Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer fighting. And it's just like, that's kind of a giveaway to an ending. And, I mean, granted, it's not the greatest movie ever, but still you would think that they wouldn't want to show that in the title sequence menu screen. So I just thought that was kind of stupid. But, yeah, that's about it for me for my movies. Nothing really momentous or anything.
So you caught
Let me, just because I'm so obsessed with two of the movies, I really like The Wrestler and really like Fantastic Mr. Fox. The performances, obviously, in The Wrestler were just absolutely second to none.
Yeah, they were really good.
How did you feel about the end of that movie? Because the end of that movie, I thought, was just absolutely just stunning.
I wasn't stunned by it, but I liked the ending. I'm glad they went in that direction instead of the expected ending, basically. So I was glad they went in that direction, and I was happy with it. And I kind of like the way they did, like, what they filmed as the last part of him just jumping off the rope and stuff, and they're just like, okay, you know which way he's going on this decision.
And then the credits roll the one trick pony. It's just, here's a man, like, you might as well ask the leopard to change his spots. There's just, you're not going to change that man. It's so cool. Yeah. And then Fantastic Mr. Fox. I heard a lot of people say that it was, like, just way too Wes Anderson. And I know you're not as big a slappy as, like, Greg and I are for Wes Anderson. Did you feel that way about it, or?
I like Wes's stuff pretty well. I'm actually not as high on Tenenbaums as you guys are, but I love Rushmore. Rushmore is great. But, yeah, I didn't really – I guess I knew that going in, and it didn't really catch me off guard, so I was kind of expecting it. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. I just figured, okay, it's a animated movie. Maybe it's going to be different. But, I mean, it definitely was a Wes Anderson film. I didn't think it was too Wes Anderson part. I mean, I liked it because of what he brings to his movies, and it changed up an animated feature for me. So I kind of like that about it, actually.
Bravo, Jim. Bravo.
Very nice.
And was the flaming pine cone scene not the coolest scene ever?
Whack bat or whatever?
During the whack bat or during the assault?
The assault, the flaming.
Oh, mic. Yeah, the assault is amazing. They play that cool.
Yeah, that music's great. Fantastic, fantastic. I have a killer review, but I can't give it to you guys. Got to keep it low. I went and saw Inception with Jeff. We both went and caught it, and everyone's been going crazy, shit face over Christopher Nolan on this movie and how amazing he is. And I have to say to that, yeah, it was pretty good, and he did a good job. I thought it was. I can't reveal too many details because I'm sure a lot of people still want to see it. It's one of those movies that it could easily get spoiled, and I don't want to. I will not scare anyone off with spoilers on this one. So, I just want to say a couple things. Christopher Nolan seems to be, I don't know. Like, Jeff, I want to say he's, like, pigeonholing himself into the same movie over and over again, but I guess we can talk about that more later. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, well, how about we decide, we resolve that next week we'll talk about this movie in depth, but I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, we were walking out, and I sort of, like, brought up, like, a very common thread to a lot of his movies, and it's just sort of...
He's just a suspense master, I guess, is what he's working. Suspense isn't the word. Thriller might be it, but I'll just a couple of keynotes. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I know Jim will probably be asking about. I liked him in it. Leonardo DiCaprio, good job, his usual. Ellen Page, I was upset about, but it's mainly because I was hoping they would have more, like, she could actually act. But Ellen Page is sort of like a supplant for the audience. Like, she's you, pretty much, is how it works. But anyhow, I won't go too further. But
that's a good point. She's the new chick, so they're like explaining it all to her when they're really just explaining it to you. Yeah,
right. But again, I would actually say if you've been waiting to see if it's worthwhile from us, go check it out. I'd say Jeff, agree.
Yeah. Oh yeah, without a doubt. I was one of the very few movies that I'm actually really happy that I saw in the theater. There are some really, really, some really great effects and some really, like, wonderful visuals, as the commercials would, like the trailers and stuff would lead you to believe. There are some really impressive visuals in it. It's kind of it's a testament to how far this the digital effects have come and everything like that. It's really a coolest shit movie.
Yeah, probably. the best movie out there right now, excluding probably some of the animated ones. We'll get to that. But, yeah, I like that. We'll come back next week. We'll give you the full Inception review with or without Jim. If he hasn't seen it yet, we'll see. One thing I have green-lighted to talk about is Predators, because no one cares if I spoil Predators. Jeff and I actually did see this together also.
You didn't spoil Predators. They spoiled Predators.
To sum it up, somebody asked me over the weekend if I thought Predators was better than Predator 2.
I asked
and you. I think you were having the conversation with somebody else, and then that person came to me, and I said Predator 2 is probably better, and it's like Predators is more the same. It really is. They do a lot of homages to the original, a lot of just stereotypical characters. What's really weird is we were sort of joking around about this movie and a little bit about Robert Rodriguez, and pretty much saying like all these people. Like are sort of like different nationalities coming into this predator world, which is their hunting ground, which is pretty obvious from the trailer. But it's almost like each one comes in, they're all like a different type of killer, and all of them are just so like stereotypical. Like, okay, there's the African guy. Oh, he's into like voodoo stuff, and he's, you know, he'll know how to deal with this and how to deal with that. Oh, there's the Mexican guy. He's talks about cutting people's limbs off and just terrible, just stupid stereotypes that come in.
It was the Mike Tyson's Punch Out of movies.
Right. It might have been, yeah. Then there was the Yakuza Japanese guy that ended up with a sword at the end.
Oh, God. That was the last straw for me. Like, it's, are you fucking serious?
I'm not convinced it wasn't tongue in cheek, though. Like, I don't know.
A lot of Robert Rodriguez is.
Yeah, a lot of it is. So that's my defense.
All right, I'm going to ask one question. And it's a prediction I made as soon as I saw the trailer.
Okay.
Is Topher Grace at fault for why they're all there? I'm picturing him as the Carter Burke of the alien, you know, from Aliens.
Yep. I remember you asked about it. Yep. He's not the weasel. And I guess, again, spoiler alert, we're going to ruin it for people that haven't seen it yet that care. But
he's a serial killer.
Yeah, he's a psycho.
Like he's a doctor, but he's a psycho killer.
He pretty much ends up being like, it's sort of funny because in the beginning, Adrian Brody, which I guess people might be curious, Adrian Brody, I didn't find him that big of a disappointment as an action.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Like his voice was terrible. His voice was terrible.
Yeah, I heard he was trying the Batman girl.
Star, and all of a sudden his voice goes from like a normal human style voice to
I'm just saying I can imagine Adrian Brody killing something now with him. Like he bulked up for it and he looked like a badass. He sounded terrible, I'll admit that. We learned a lot about them. They have energy weapons.
How'd Larry do?
Oh, man. He actually has a really small part. I completely forgot he was even in the movie because you don't see him till like midway, and then he disappears immediately. So
yeah, his part was so poorly written that it's impossible to tell how he did it.
Right. I thought as far as summer movies go, like even looking at through that lens of like just mindless thriller summer action movie, this one's pretty low.
I should stay home and rewatch Predator.
Yeah, exactly. Go watch Predator. Arnie's watch Predator best too, film. Even. And or just wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks and go catch the Expendables and Piranha 3D. So take
definitely
a pass.
Not worth the reboot, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know who to blame. Like the story wasn't very good, but the end was like the final fight between obvious Brody versus Predator was not very climactic whatsoever. And
none of the action was even that good.
Yeah,
story was stupid and completely uncomplex. There was just nothing interesting about it. Nothing about it was good. There was not a single good thing. The chicken was pretty good looking. I liked her, but that was aside from that, nothing was good.
I think there's an insect in my tonic, vodka tonic.
Well, time to stop and get new ones.
No, it's time for the Jeff movie review. That's what it's
called. Oh, okay. All right. I saw I actually did something I don't think I've ever done before. I went to the theater 3 days in a row. The first thing I saw at the theater was Despicable Me. Yay, Despicable Me. I really liked it. It was good. It was funny and you know, and it had the right amount of like touchingness to it. The character,
were the Minions not the coolest things ever?
The Minions were awesome. They were hilarious. I was going through, and some of the people that did Minion voices were cracking me up. Like Jermaine Clement from the Flight of the Conchords.
Nice.
Did a Minion voice. Like, how hilarious is that? The writers and directors did Minion voices. Like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of fun.
No, I didn't. Funny. I didn't, like, in the commercials, they don't really say anything. They never said anything in the movie, right? Or do they?
No, they kind of just make noises. Like, they have sort of their own little language. They're really funny. Like,
I don't promote them much in the commercials, it didn't seem like.
What's that?
I said it didn't seem like they were important in the commercials, so it's kind of interesting that
They're not like the main characters, but they're
a main source of humor.
And they're very charming. They're not like too cutesy either. They're just very charming. Let's see. Steve Carell did a pretty good job. The Gru is his character. He's well written. Kind of the bad guy is Vector, played by Jason Segel. He's good. A couple of other standouts are Will Arnett plays like the bank manager guy. There's like a bank of evil where the supervillains go to like get their plans financed and stuff like that. It's a pretty funny movie. I mean, I don't know if there's any reason to run out to the theater and see it, but certainly unless you got kids, but certainly when it comes out on video, certainly Netflix the hell out of that. It's pretty funny. I got a big kick out of it.
So it's got stuff for adults and kids then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, some of it's kind of cutesy, but, like, even the kid humor is, like, tolerable kid humor. It's not, like, stupid kid humor. It's good. This is a quality movie.
Two more questions. Be honest, did you see it because Julie Andrews voiced one of the people?
No, I saw it because my girlfriend was in town and didn't want to see Inception.
Second question, since you dodged the first one. Steve Carell, on his way to being a billionaire, yes or no?
I'm thinking,
no problem.
I'm going to go with no.
5 seconds. No.
No, I'm saying no. I think I think that this is great for him because it's a voice, but I think he's going to find himself typecast, as a schmuck, as it were, as Michael Scott would be.
Dinner for Schmucks?
Like in Dinner for Schmucks. Yeah, I don't remember
that's the name of it.
I really liked him in Dan in Real Life. I thought he was excellent in that. I don't think he's going to get a whole lot more of those roles.
It's too bad he's going to make millions of dollars being typecast. It's unfortunate.
For sure.
That's what you would say. So I'm saying it to you, Jeff. Taste your own medicine. Take that.
Felt pretty good.
Yeah. That's it for the movie reviews. That's it for the movie reviews. On to everyone's favorite, the Parker Posey play along. Ding, ding, ding.
That's the
boxing noise for the Parker play along.
Bing, bing.
We bring a question to the podcast. Other two people answer it, bring it to the boards, bring it to the Facebook page, and you guys can answer it, and we'll bring up your answers on air the next week. This week, well, I guess last week's question was first we'll have to do Jim, because Jim had a question last week. The question was, what is your favorite visual special effect? Jim, what was your favorite Gunga Pit answer to the visual special effect? Take that.
Yeah, it's a toughie. I was hoping to get a little bit more play with this question. I figured it was kind of, you know, generic enough that everyone would have an opinion.
Right.
But, yeah, besides my Balrog, I didn't really have a whole lot of ones that probably beat my Balrog. I was kind of hoping to, like, be, you know, wowed by an answer.
But, right. Yeah, well, I do want to point out...
the best answer ever.
I did like your answer.
I want to point out that somebody brought up... Somebody else also brought up the T-1000, so mine got two votes, and
it's a worthy vote, too.
Votes, yeah. But, yeah, thank you to KBW, Varys, Elor, others for answering the Parker Posey play-along. It probably is it's Jeff's favorite feature, I know that. That's why Jeff has the question today, right, Jeff?
Also because it's my turn.
It's your question for the Parker Posey play-along.
All right. So this question is going to be a little narrower in scope. There are a certain amount of answers are fine. Recently it's leaked, and there it's neither been confirmed nor denied that the Riddler will be featured in the third Batman movie of the reboot. I know this makes Greg happy.
Yeah.
Who would Batman you like forever. To see? Right now, everybody's favorite, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is apparently being looked at, although I don't know if that's how much truth is to that, how much truth there is to that. There we go. But who would you like to see play the Riddler in the third of the new Batman series?
Interesting. So we're going to assume we're not asking who do we want, the Riddler or some other bad guy. We're asking the Riddler's in it.
Who do we plays play the Riddler?
Okay. All right. I'm ready. I'm completely ready.
You finally used that get out of jail free I gave you on the 50th episode, huh? Where you didn't have to ask a stupid question.
Yeah, it was a pretty straightforward question, Jeff. Congratulations for once you actually have one.
No problem.
So what's your answer, big guy?
My answer. I'm going to go with a pretty uninspired answer, actually. I think Brad Pitt would make a good Riddler.
Wow.
Wow, uninspired or wow?
Uninspired.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Just anytime he plays somebody that's a little quirky, a little crazy, he does a very, very good job with it. And I'm not that familiar, to be honest, and comic book fans will blast me for this, but the Riddler – in the you know, from everything I know, is kind of like a weirder dude, and he's kind of like kind of got a quirky sense of humor, I guess. And I don't know, I just see him being a little bit...
That's a good point. Brad Pitt playing psycho weird weirdos.
He's
done a good job.
Yeah, like a la like 16 Monkeys, or even like a Fight Club, like a Tyler Durden.
Right. No,
that's the name of the movie, right? 16 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys. 16 something else. Yeah.
Sixteen blocks.
Candles is the one I was thinking
of.
Well, blocks, he said Bruce Willis had, so let's go blocks.
So, yeah.
James, I'm going to let you go because I don't think you're going to pick the person I pick. So you can
How about you go since I'm still thinking?
Okay, all right. I'll go. My answer also may be a little uninspired, but I just figured with the way the market's going right now and the way he's acting – Robert Downey Jr.
Damn it!
Could easily be in this thing.
That was my fallback if I couldn't think of anybody.
He's done a couple cruel roles. I think this could be him being evil and jumping out of this whole just snarky superhero or slightly comedic.
Riddle me this, riddle me that.
He could just get drunk and show up and be beyond set and do
That's
a great it. Job.
Root for him to fall off the wagon. That's great.
You riddling me?
Which, by the way, I didn't mention this, but I saw Sherlock Holmes this week. Maybe that's also why Robert Downey Jr. is in there.
Yeah,
head,
I was thinking about Robert Downey Jr., and I was worried that he couldn't bring, like, a evil element to it. But
that's the thing. This is his chance. Yeah. I think the market would give him this chance to be a bad guy, and if he did it, you know, sky's the limit. Robert, sky's
would,
the limit.
Yeah, so. He would be good, you know. And, you know, I kind of like the idea, actually, of, the like, the Riddler having a drug problem. I think that would be a nice...
Right. Yeah, Jim, so it's a good thing I didn't let you go. You might
yeah,
have
seriously. That was my fallback. And we're sure Christopher Nolan's directing this movie? I can't see like a Timothy Burton, Johnny Depp combo or anything.
Oh, he's writing it? He's not directing it?
I'm pretty sure he's not writing. He's not directing it. I'll check it.
I could open the door for my Tim Burton, Johnny Depp. Yeah, Tim Burton's already associated with Batman. I'm going with that... the guy in the infomercials with the jacket with all the question marks on it. Whatever
the ShamWow guy? Oh, no, that guy. All right.
I actually kind of like the idea of Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing it because I remember hearing the announcement for Heath Ledger and going, what the fuck? He's going to be the Joker?
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was awesome. So maybe he
also maybe it'll kill Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, so you know, if we could root for Robert Downey Jr. falling off the wagon, why not root for someone's death too?
Why not? And so I'm looking at it. I swear, Nolan claimed he wasn't going to direct this movie, but
I think that was in the heat of the moment. I think he's
right. Like that was right when
we looked at it and seen how much money he can make by directing another.
Right, The Dark Knight was making its billions, and I remember him answering questions like, "All right, what's next up? What's to happen?" He's like, "Oh, I'm not going to be attached to direct this, but I thought he was writing it." So it turns out he's writing it and directing, and well, at least according to the temporary Batman stuff, and producing, he's doing everything. Yeah, excellent question, Jeff. My Robert Downey answer is probably the best. That's going to be a tough one to answer on the board. It's going to be a tough one.
Well, I think some people are going to have some good answers on the board.
I wish they could even longer and come up with better answers. I'm not real happy with my Johnny Depp, but still.
Yeah, you can bring those answers to the boards. Jeff, could you phrase it one last time?
Yes.
Thank you.
Who would you like to see play the Riddler in the third of the new Batman movies?
With the assumption that the Riddler will be back for that.
Right. Under the assumption that the Riddler will be back, which is...
Wow. Val Kilmer coming back as a bad guy?
Wow.
I like it. I'm changing my answer. No.
You might as well just go Arnie at that point.
Well, Arnie was a bad guy before, even though he's a different bad guy. Okay. So that question
Michael
will be
Keaton might not be bad.
Yeah, there you go. That question will be at the boards at gungabit.com and also at the movie hour page at Facebook. James and Jeff, it's super hot in here. It's time to go. The interns, we need to come off their leashes and we need to get out of here. Thank you for
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone.
All right, drive safe.
Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Hope you enjoy.
Take care, everyone. The Michael Moore Working Poor Movie Hour. See ya. It's like a song.
I'm ready to bring absolutely nothing to this episode.
Come on, Jim.
Jim, you're the glue, man.
Turn that frown upside down.
Fuck you, dog. Fuck you. Get out of my fucking yard, little girl. I see you.
What the? Old man syndrome.
It's good stuff.
She was like, get off my lawn. I fucking see you, little dog.
I see you.